There was a study done recently in America, apparently, on the impact on our health of having friends around us. The impact of just having those relationships around us, companions around us. And one interesting result of this little study was that it suggested that eating with others was better for you than eating on your own. Now, I took a study to work that out. Come Dine With Me operates here once a month, and that's basically what it's based on. People who otherwise would be eating on their own come together one Sunday a month and eat together, and there's no doubt it's better for you than sitting on your own. But as I thought it through, the study might actually mean that it's better to eat a Big Mac with your friends than to eat broccoli on your own, which is a wonderful thing. But we can work on that one. We all know the value of friendship, companionship. We all know the benefit of just being in those strong relationships. Many of us may know also the pain of not being in them, the pain of being lonely, the pain of being isolated. And it's no accident that actually holding people in isolation or putting them in solitary confinement is used as a punishment, it's used as a way to try and break people's spirit. Because we need to be in those relationships, we need to be with companions, we need to be with friends. We were made to be sociable. We were made in the very image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this wonderful relationship in our triune God. We were made in the image of God to share this relationship, to benefit from being in relationship. The Bible right at the very beginning says it's not good to be alone. We were meant to be together. And the Christian life is in many ways a life of companionship. It's not to be lived out in isolation. When we are called through faith in Jesus Christ, through that saving faith in Jesus, to become part of God's family, we're part of a family. We're not called to stand on our own. We're called to be part of a family. There is no suggestion anywhere in the New Testament of Christians living apart from the community of God's people, of Christians living apart from the church, of Christians living apart from the very family of God. We were made to be in relationship. Our baptism is based on the very covenant of grace, and all the way through Scripture, we're reminded of the basis of this covenant. And God repeats it time and time again. I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be your God, you will be my people. Nowhere does God say, I will be your God and you will be my person. It's people, it's family, it's community together. We were made to be together. These few verses which Jeff read for us earlier on in the service demonstrate that Christian companionship so beautifully. We find these three men, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. They're very varied characters. They have different gifts and abilities. They probably have different temperaments. They certainly come from very, very different backgrounds. You have Paul. Paul, who was once this proud Pharisee, proud of all that he was as a Pharisee, proud of his own achievements, proud of his own abilities, and he hated and loathed anything to do with Jesus Christ. You have Timothy. Timothy, who is a third-generation Christian. When you go through to 2 Timothy and read there, you find that Timothy was blessed to have a godly grandmother, Lois, and a godly mother, Eunice. And here's Timothy, a third-generation Christian. Paul hates anything to do with Jesus. Timothy, who's brought up in this godly influence of these two godly women, and Epaphroditus, who was probably a Greek, a non-Jew, a Gentile. Paul the Pharisee would have looked at Epaphroditus and seen him as a Gentile dog. he would have hated him. So here are these three very, very different men presented in these few short verses. You probably couldn't have put three more different people together, but they are beautifully brought together in Jesus Christ. In spite of everything that might pull them apart or drive them apart, they are now brothers in Christ. They are companions in the gospel. And it is a beautiful thing. It's not just a warm feeling of friendship. It's not just a sort of fuzzy emotional thing about being with my pals, my mates, my friends. It's a desire to see each other become everything that God wants them to be. It's a desire to see them do everything that God would have them do. It's a desire to see the very best for their companions in Christ. Just a few verses earlier in Philippians, Paul encourages the Philippians that your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. What a great prayer. Great prayer for us to pray for each other. As we pray for each other, let's pray that the attitude that we have would be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Isn't it a great prayer to pray for our politicians during an election campaign? May your attitude be the same as that as Christ Jesus. Great prayer. But we see that prayer worked out in the lives of these three men, three companions in the gospel. Verse 4 of this chapter, we read, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Looking to the interests of others. And then in verse 21, when we're looking at these people, Paul simply says, I have no one else like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone else looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy, living out this desire to be like Jesus. Paul encouraging him in that, helping him in that. Companions in the gospel. Timothy prepared to set his own agenda aside and to serve Christ by serving others. How often does our own agenda just get in the way? We have our own program laid out, and it's a stumbling block, not only to our own growth, but also to our growth together. Timothy was able to set that aside and seek the interests of others as he served Christ. Timothy, Paul, Epaphroditus, all have this servant heart that desires to see Jesus honored and their companions in the gospel encouraged and built up. We also see them caring for and encouraging each other. Paul and Timothy, we read, work together in the gospel like father and son. Every so often you come across father-son businesses who just work well together. The father has started a business and the son joins with them and they work well together as a team. Paul says, that's the way Timothy and I work in the gospel. Caring for and encouraging each other. And Epaphroditus, Paul says he's like a brother. He's a fellow worker. He's a fellow soldier. He cares for my needs. Just this caring, encouraging nature. It's a challenge to us. We talk about having fellowship together, but sadly, we've reduced that to just meaning a cup of tea and a bun. And that's fellowship. That's important. You know that I don't knock a cup of tea and coffee and a bun. It's important, and there's a place for it. But let's not confuse it with fellowship. Someone has said that fellowship is the relationship between those who have a relationship with Jesus. And what happens in that relationship as we look at Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus? Well, they encourage each other. We've seen that. Paul says, I've no one like Timothy. I've no one like this man in terms of looking after the needs of others. I commend him to you. Epaphroditus, he's like a brother. He's a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. He cares for me. And they encourage each other. But with that relationship also comes a great responsibility. As you read through these few short verses, Paul talks about having sorrow upon sorrow. He talks about anxiety. It's not all smiles, it's not all easy going. Because when we open up to each other, when we begin to be real with each other, when we open up in fellowship with each other, we become vulnerable. The easiest way to avoid that sorrow, that anxiety, is to close our hearts to people who are around us. Just to back away. Fellowship, companionship in the gospel does exactly the opposite. We open our hearts to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it exposes us to the possibility of sorrow and anxiety as we care for and encourage each other. But it's the only way to grow. It's the only way to grow in our friendships and our fellowship with each other. It's our only way to grow in Christ as we open our hearts to Him, as we open our hearts to each other. Yes, we're vulnerable, but yes, we grow. Yes, we mature. Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus are living examples of what we sang about right at the beginning of our service. It comes from Psalm 133, which simply says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, and we can put sisters in there as well. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, it's not uniformity. It's not when God's people are all identical, when we think the same way, when we behave the same way, when we have the same preferences. That's not what it's about. It's about unity in Jesus. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Jesus, when he prays in John chapter 17, when he prays for the believers, when he prays for you and for me, he prays for unity. He prays that we may be one. Not just a gathering of individuals, but one. And part of the reason for that is that it's a witness to the world. Our unity together in Jesus is a witness to the world. And so Jesus says that it's so the world may believe. As people looked on at Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, these very, very different men coming together, having this deep-seated love for each other and concern for each other, they must have wondered, how does that work? How do three men who normally would be at each other's throats come together in this way? And the world looks on and believes. Our challenge is to find our unity not on our friendship, but in our fellowship in Jesus Christ, so that the world may look on and believe. It's not about our own efforts. It's about God working in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's about allowing God to work in us. That's why over these weeks and months, we're focusing on prayer. The Alpha Prayer Course is so encouraging. Not just because there are great numbers coming along to it, but because people are opening up to God and to each other. It's good to have our midweek Bible studies when we look at what it is to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Not just because it fills our heads with facts and knowledge, but because as we come together, we begin to be changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. It's God at work. God at work to will and to act according to his good purpose. So what about us? A gathering of random individuals or brothers and sisters in Christ. A building full of people just to come together on a Sunday morning, or a community of God's people desiring to grow in their love for and knowledge of Jesus and in their love for each other. But it's not just about us. It's not just about us working harder, although we do need to make efforts. We do need to reach out to each other. It starts when we recognize that we are lost, that the sinfulness of our own life has separated us from God and from each other, and that needs to be dealt with. And so God graciously gives us his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the cross deals with that sin, and we're brought together in the family of God, trusting in what Jesus has done for us, believing in him. The option is to stay isolated, to spend eternity in isolation, which is a horrendous thought. The Bible's quite clear that to spend eternity without God is the only other option. Eternity without God, without all of the good and lovely and great things that flow from him, is the only option apart from spending eternity with him through faith in Jesus Christ, adopted into his family, no longer isolated, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our calling. This is our challenge. Not so that we may be cozy and warm here, but so that in our unity in Jesus, we may be a living witness to the world that watches, so that the world may watch and believe. May God give us the grace to open up to his love and to each other. Let's pray together. Father, we confess the things which separate us from you and from each other. Our hardness of heart, our pride, our selfishness. Forgive us, we pray, and by your Spirit, open us up to yourself and to each other, that we may not only find forgiveness, but offer that forgiveness to those around us. And this we ask for your glory and for the good of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.